We're very blessed to be working in an industry for, you know, it's a high-end residential market, and our clients, they have the money to be able to invest in interior designers. And I just think it's a good opportunity to use our skill set to give something back.
Hello, I'm Carol Annett from Country and Townhouse magazine. Welcome to the House Guest podcast, where I chat with experts from the world of interior design and decoration, the people behind the houses, hotels, shops and brands you see in glossy magazines like ours. And if you're doing up your own home, hopefully you'll pick up some tips for yourself.
Today, I'm delighted to be chatting to Lucy Clark of Studio Clark & Co. Based in Surrey. Lucy, you have been doing all sorts of extraordinary projects, but the one that I wanted to concentrate on a little bit today was working with a women's aid refuge near where you are in Surrey, because you have said it's one of the most extraordinary things you've ever done. So tell us a little bit about it and how you got involved.
So I think, like everyone, you feel quite helpless. Well, I felt quite helpless during COVID lockdown. And I think there was a news report of the rise in domestic abuse, because as you can imagine, women and children were stuck in houses with their perpetrators. I have a sort of shared co-working office space, and I was just chatting to a lady who volunteers for the RBWA. And I just said, look, I'm just feeling so helpless. What can I do? Can I design a room? Can you introduce me to someone? And sort of it was just this domino effect. And I was introduced to this incredible service manager called Sophie, who'd just taken over a new premises in Surrey. I can't obviously disclose the actual location. And they said, look, we can't just single out one room because we have 19 families who can actually stay in the refuge. And just singling out one room just wouldn't be fair. So they actually had this sort of garden room in the garden, and it was just incredibly sort of run down, derelict. I mean, you're talking avocado suites, but really, you know, not classy avocado suites. Tiles falling off the walls, and it just needed some tender loving care. So it was a perfect opportunity to take this space over and do a little makeover. I say little, it sort of turned out from doing a room to sort of kitchen, bathrooms, and then sort of calling on basically all my suppliers, my trusted suppliers.
You certainly haven't stinted. You've got the most beautiful Fromental wallpaper, Humphrey Munson kitchen. I mean, you've done an astonishing job. It's absolutely lovely.
Oh, thank you. I think my starting point was actually, you know, the room is in a garden, essentially, and I wanted to bring that inside, but also make sure it felt very peaceful. So instantly I thought of Fromental and their gorgeous wall coverings. And that sort of, I think, was the starting point of the inspiration for the room. And it was just incredible, the support that came out, and, you know, just reaching out to all my suppliers. And Humphrey Munson was definitely a leader in helping pull the room together. And Louisa just went above and beyond to help, to the point of, you know, filling the cupboards with chocolate biscuits and coffee. It was just gorgeous. Just little touches like that just make the room so special.
Yeah, because Humphrey, am I right in thinking Humphrey Munson Kitchens and Furniture, they're based in Essex?
Yeah, they are, yes.
And that's a family-run company. It's the smaller companies, really, who actually, it's probably easier to ask because there's not so much of a chain of command in order for you to get the answer straight away. And I suppose that's what's lovely about, you know, the respect that you have in the industry, that you can go to people and say, you know, this is what I'm doing. And they know absolutely, they know you, they know it's for a great cause, and they know that the money's, you know, that whatever they give is going to be used appropriately.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as I'm a small business as well, I know who my tried and tested suppliers are, and they go literally above and beyond. And I just knew that would be the same for this project. And I, you know, it's kind of worked both ways. I think also during the pandemic, it was so important to support one another. It was such a bizarre period. And actually, I think we all just came together and created this, you know, really peaceful, special space.
And tell me about the colours and the your sort of idea behind how you went about it, because you've got quite a lot of soft, there's some pink tones in there, but also the kind of stronger navy.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, you can probably tell if you look at my work, a strong basis of my colour palette is navies. And actually, I'm rebranding at the moment, which is very exciting, which might have a little subtle hint of navy, perhaps. So navy is, you know, one of my favourite colours. But I think kind of pairing back to the brief from the RBWA, it being a very peaceful space, not too shouty, and the room essentially would be used for therapy, counselling, also training staff. So it just needed to be very understated, hence why there was a lot of greys in there. But I also wanted to add that pop of pink, just to add a bit of femininity to the space. And also it not to be too glamorous in a way, it just sort of adding a little bit of punch of happiness and not too classic as well. So yeah, that just little punch of pink, I think, really added that layer that the room, it justified the room.
And I know that you were part of a team that put together a garden for the NSPCC, which won a gold at the Chelsea Flower Show. There's a kind of theme here with charities and helping. Do you think it's really important for the design community to give back? Why is it so important to you?
Absolutely. I'm very blessed to be working in an industry for, you know, it's a high-end residential market. And our clients, they have the money to be able to invest in interior designers. And I just think it's a good opportunity to use our skill set to give something back. So for that specific project, actually, Chris Beardshaw was asked by, I think, Morgan Stanley, and they sponsored the garden for the NSPCC. And it was just, yeah, definitely that inspired me to do more. And I think actually I got a sweet message from Louisa from Humphrey Munson. It's made her want to do more for charity as well. But obviously, you know, we're all incredibly busy, but I think it's important just to step back and give something back. And, you know, that garden was just so thought-provoking, and how, you know, the journey from start to finish and the diversity of the different flowers. And then there was this real pop of pink at the beginning, which was sort of, I think, the start of the journey with the children and the abuse that they get. And then at the end of the garden, it's just this beautiful, tranquil space that you really have come on a journey. And yeah, it's just, he was just very, very clever. And I was very, very lucky to be a part of, very minute part of it, styling a few items of furniture and assisting with sort of some of the finishes and wall art as well.
And what about other projects that you're working on at the moment?
So currently I'm actually just about to go off and present for a beautiful country house. So it's converted barn, essentially. And it's their second home. So we're actually doing a 2-day presentation because you just can't physically present all the rooms in one day. So we're going to do the ground floor today and the first floor tomorrow. And it's very sort of monotone country. So very sort of understated glamour, but with a little bit of chic country.
When you say monotone, is that more kind of natural materials?
Yeah, so a lot of different neutrals, quite bold punches of black and white. So I went round a marble yard yesterday and found this really amazing marble called, I think it was called Panda. So that's really exciting. So it's nice to slightly be taken out of your comfort zone, because I love punching colour in, but this is all monotone and natural textures. So loads of different tone on tones, creams, whites, off-whites.
And presumably that's been led by the client.
It has, but I think it's been a really good challenge actually, because their primary residence is in London, and she has a very contemporary take on interiors. And I think that's where my experience sort of comes in, and trying to tailor that brief and make it fit in the countryside. So hopefully I'll pull it off.
I'm sure you will. And what, tell me about your background and how you got involved in interior design in the first place.
Oh, good question. That seems a very long time ago. So I studied history of art at university, and I actually got work experience at Homes and Gardens magazine, sort of in the styling department. I really loved that, but I didn't feel it was meaty enough for me. And I think I wanted to explore the interiors world more, but like deeper delving into more projects. So I then applied for work experience with Oliver Laws, Guy Oliver. Yeah, and that was just the most incredible experience. Like, I loved working with him. He's just so charismatic and just so friendly, down to earth.
Extraordinary background, because he was in the Navy.
Yeah. Yes, I know. I remember him telling me all this. I was just, I think, you know, particularly being, you know, fresh out of university, just sort of look gold-eyed and just like, how have you become, you know, this successful interior designer? And they just actually won the Connaught Hotel contract. So there was me, like, literally a work experience girl, and then he ended up offering me a job even without, at that point, qualifications in interior design. And I was sitting in these meetings at the Connaught with all these structural engineers and architects, not knowing what on earth they were talking about, sort of nodding and taking notes. But it, in hindsight, it's actually a wonderful experience to look back on and how much I actually did learn on the job. And then really from there, I then sort of got to a point where I really needed to get sort of my qualifications and get the skill set, learn CAD and Photoshop and all those other bits and bobs you need. So I went to study at the Interior Design School, and actually I do lecture there occasionally, which is really nice, again, to give something back. And what I loved about that...
It's called the Interior Design School.
Yeah, it's called the Interior Design School. It's they're based in Paddington, and it's run by a lady called Iris Dunbar. She used to be president of the BIID.
Okay, I know her, but I haven't heard of the school.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's a really nice small knit. I think we had about sort of 12 of us in our group. And what I loved the most was being taught by industry professionals. So you really, you know, even though some of our projects weren't necessarily real life, we actually were given real buildings. But just learning that, you know, what you can and can't do, you can't just knock down a wall and, you know, all be well. You need to understand, you know, the principle behind knocking down a wall and the structural integrity of it, which is why I love going back and presenting and lecturing at the school. So I got my diploma there. And then I'd always wanted to work for Todd Hunterell Interiors, and did work experience there in my holidays during the course. And I was really lucky enough to be offered a job. And then sort of my career went from there, really working for Chelsea firms, and then set up Studio Clark & Co 4 years ago. So, yeah.
And actually, you've got an extraordinary amount of projects under your belt in just 4 years. It's hard to believe it's only been 4 years, really.
I know. I mean, I tend to not take on like too many projects. I sort of have 3 to 4 going on at one time, but they're all at sort of different stages. And I have my tried and tested team behind me. I have freelancers work for me, but I'm actually just about to launch, because I've just relocated down to Chichester in West Sussex. So I'm about to launch another arm of my business down here, and actually get an assistant to help me, because I'm sort of evolving now, and I think it's time to take the plunge.
Yeah. I think for me, looking at your projects on the website, there's definitely a strong contemporary element. Would you say that?
Yeah.
Particularly in the use of materials. I mean, one of my favourite kitchens of yours has that sort of burnished bronze on the island.
Yeah, no, I definitely do. It's funny because I grew up in quite a sort of traditional house, and my mother was really good at interior designing our houses. And so she was obsessed with, you know, Colfax and Fowler and, you know, that sort of period, which, you know, I mean, that's so inspiring in so many ways. And I suppose sort of growing up, you just sort of evolve in your design style. And also I think working for other firms, you just pick up different design sensibilities. I was incredibly inspired working for Todd Hunterell, because I think they've got this lovely mix of classic and contemporary. And then, you know, then I worked for Catherine Pooley for a bit, and that was, you know, completely different and very elegant and elaborate. So I feel like I'm kind of sort of in the middle at the moment with my style, but I do love a contemporary twist on a sort of classic design for sure.
And what about your own home? If you're relocating to Chichester, does that mean you've got a new house to do for yourself?
Yeah, so we've just actually undergone kind of phase one works and basically gutted the ground floor. We bought sort of a family house, sort of 5 beds with 3 floor ground, first, second. And it was strange because the previous owners had 3 children, but the kitchen was tiny. But we were sort of explaining it was because they needed all these breakout spaces because they had teenagers. But as a young family, we wanted to have an open plan kitchen, dining, living space and sort of playroom so we could see the kids. So we've essentially just restructured downstairs and put in a new kitchen and flooring. And then we'll sort of start tackling upstairs and then convert the garage. So there's lots to do. But I think if I hadn't have done it, as soon as we bought it, I would never have done it. I'm just too busy with my, you know, with work.
Yeah. So, and where does the majority of your work come through? Is it sort of word of mouth?
Yeah, it's all word of mouth. I mean, I have had a couple of inquiries on Instagram, but it's all word of mouth. So this project I'm doing in Petersfield was a referral from a previous client, and actually their friend has just contacted me for a project up in North London, beautiful grade two listed property. So yeah, it's just all word of mouth. And I think, you know, it's very much about how you get on. It's such a personal thing, designing someone's home. You've got to be able to click with your client. And I would definitely say I'm very down to earth, and I listen, and I'm very personable. And that might not be for everyone, but, you know, I feel that that approach seems to work, and I'm getting the right kind of clients for me.
I always say, when anyone ever asks me advice on sort of how to go about choosing an interior designer, I always say, you know, make sure you like them and they like you, because yeah, it's a very personal, you know, you are going to be giving away quite intimate secrets of your sort of day-to-day living and how you like to wash and how you like to bathe and where you like to snooze and all that sort of thing. And actually, it, you really need to be able to talk to somebody, and also they need to get the best out of you, because quite often people don't know what they want. I mean, I work in the industry, but I'm certainly not an interior designer. And, you know, the idea of being given a blank canvas actually makes me go slightly sweaty. I get quite nervous about it, because I'm not a stylist. You know, I'm very happy to look at an image and say, oh, I like this and I don't like that. But to have to do it myself is really scary. And also, you don't want to make mistakes.
No, I know, but I think, you know, no one's perfect, and you actually learn from your mistakes as well. But I think my Petersfield client, she's showing me this incredible Max Alto concept, but, you know, it had paneling and, you know, it was just these really grand, you know, high ceilings. And she's like, that's what I want. And I'm like, amazing, I love the concept, but we have a converted barn here with, you know, wooden beams. We don't have that ceiling height. We do have vaulted ceiling somewhere, but it's just trying to, you know, get that,
manage expectations.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, like you said as well, it's so personal. I mean, you know, I go to the point where I'm looking at the wardrobe designs, I'm like, so let's look at the drawers, you know, how many knicker drawers do you want? And, you know, but you have to, you need to, you know, make sure you've really thought about every single detail.
Has anyone ever really surprised you with any particular requests or things that they absolutely don't want? Or
no, I think it's more, I had one of my favourite clients actually in West Sussex, which actually made me want to do more work down here. They were two very different clients. He's Indian, and he had amazing art collection. Well, they both had an art collection, but they just had such different views on things. And it was just hilarious. We would go around showrooms together, because, I mean, he has a bad back and he wanted to literally try every piece of furniture, which, you know, it's important. You know, some clients don't want to be involved at all and I just get on with it. But other clients want their hand held, and, you know, that's brilliant. And he would, I mean, I'm not joking, we sat in hundreds of sofas, and funnily enough, one of the sofas we chose, we've had to actually change it recently because he's just not happy with it. And even though, you know, we did the whole process, and now we've got this whole, I'm talking like in Friends, you know, the Joey chair with the kick out footrest and the, you know, it's the whole shebang, and now he's very happy.
Yeah, you see, you've got to get your, I'm very fussy about my fluffy, you know, my cushions. They, you know, if you, so often you clonk down on a seat and, you know, you really notice when it's a hard seat. But when you're in a shop, it's very easy to just look at a style and go, oh, isn't that lovely? I want that one. But you're quite, yeah, you have to go and sit in it and slump in it and, you know,
jump. Yeah, definitely. I mean, actually, I had a client in Chelsea and they were quite nervous about having a lot of furniture made bespoke, which we do a lot, just because spaces are just so unique. And this one specifically was a penthouse apartment, and we were trying to fit in a number of things on the top floor. because it was all open plan. We were creating this U-shaped sofa. So I took them to Bray, an incredible upholstery company, Marilyn, who runs it, who's just such a sweetheart. But also just, she's so savvy and she knows what she's talking about. So they have this test sofa. And like you say, like, you know, not one person's going to like one thing. So you might want a hard, soft. And so literally my client sat in every single different medium that we could possibly find. And, you know, but that was good because it wasn't a surprise when the sofa arrived. You know, the comfort level was perfect for them. It's just about going above and beyond, isn't it? And just making sure that they're going to be happy with the end result because they're the ones living there.
Exactly. Actually, I remember Rita Koenig. I went to one of her classes, her sort of day classes. And one of the best tips, she said, if you're having piece of furniture reupholstered or you're having cushions, she said, get them to only fill 80% of the cushion, because then you get that lovely sort of slubby feeling of when the sofa's a couple of years old and it's far more comfortable. You know, the tendency if you're buying, yeah, if you're having a new cushion is, oh, I want it absolutely stuffed to the gunnels. But she said, you know, watch, it's all those little things, all those nuggets that we get from you lot, which we wouldn't know. So Lucy, thank you so much. Just tell me a little bit about what plans for the future. Any more work with the Women's Refuge?
So yes, hopefully. I am in discussion with lovely Sophie Patterson to take on quite a extensive project, which we'll hopefully be able to chat about a bit more in a couple of months' time. But she's been incredibly supportive with RBWA and my project. So yeah, very exciting. But I will have an ongoing relationship with the charity as much as I can help them as possible. And as I sort of briefly mentioned, I'm going to be setting up another arm of my business down in Chichester, West Sussex, and hopefully do a few more country projects down here.
Lovely. You and Sophie, I can't think of a more dynamic duo. We'll get you both on to chat about it as and when it happens. Just remind us what your Instagram link is.
So it's studio_Clark_and_co. Just what's short but sweet.
Thanks, Lucy. It's really heartwarming to hear about the industry giving back, and it's something that we can all, you know, all learn from. So thank you very, very much indeed.
Thanks, Carol. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to House Guest from Country and Townhouse Magazine with me, Carol Annett. In the meantime, you can follow me on Instagram at Carol W. Annett. And keep up to date on all the podcast news and show notes online at countryandtownhouse.co.uk/podcast.